It is March 5th, 2015. UFF, UWF bargaining for the 2015-16 reopener. I'm Brendan Kelly.
Mike Banamore.
Anita Schoenberger.
Cindy Faria.
Enid Siskin.
John Fink.
Dean DeBode.
We've drafted up. Do we have copies of this?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. We drafted up a short memorandum of understanding to reflect the.
It might be. Let me just check the back because I stuck it in. Yeah. Okay. Good.
That indicates that we entered into an MOU on August 8th, 2014, but as of this year, the law changed so that in the state of Florida, same-sex partners can legally marry and they can be, as a result, qualify for the health insurance benefits under the state group insurance plan.
Okay. Well, we'll, thank you guys for writing this up. I felt like there would be, because our MOU was so specific with dates and everything, that we needed something in writing. We will, I'd like just to make sure, I'm going to take this with me and just look over just a little bit, and then and have it on the 23rd. And because everything is going well in HR, I know Greg and Connor are doing well with their benefits and others, and so this doesn't.
The other aspect of this MOU and the MOU signed before is the MOU that we signed before covered health insurance and tuition, right?
No, the MOU that was signed previously, that it was only for the same-sex domestic partner benefits, health, and it was defined in the same labyrinthine way that the other wants. It's a partial tuition, a partial reimbursement of the cost between the difference of the same floor structure. But in the language, it says currently in the CBA, the only language is spouse, right, or dependent. So now, because there's no differentiation between the same-sex spouse or a different-sex spouse. My understanding is that same-sex spouses have access to the tuition benefits. And there's no differentiation.
Good.
Right?
Good.
Just legal spouses.
Yeah, just legal spouses.
Got it.
Yeah.
Good. All right,
so
good.
So should be said. Just to make sure what we, you know, we're able, ready to identify additional articles. Are you guys
not.
Okay. That's fine. Do you anticipate being ready to do that on the 23rd?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. What we have today, we do have a proposal because benefits and salaries are automatically open.
Right.
Right. So we actually have a benefit proposal to talk about. Give some work to do. One of the things that we talked a lot about last, let's print up all 10 pages for little bitty changes. This is kind of the Where's Waldo, it's like find the tiny little changes in here. One of the things we talked a lot about during full book was about performance-based funding and metrics and how those things are here to stay, and that, you know, as a university we need to work on, you know, having everyone work together to try and increase those funds. One of the metrics that we're evaluated on is time to degree completion. As that one, and even though the metrics seem to be changing, that seems like one that's here to stay. Brendan, you probably know about that. So one of the things that we're thinking right now in the benefits section, an employee is, any faculty member is entitled to 6 hours per semester of this is on the. Let's see. 26.8, the free university courses for faculty and our dependents. In the first one, right now, they're entitled to 6 credit hours of instruction at the university per semester. Right. What we're proposing is for undergraduate tuition to increase that from 6 to 12, and for graduate to increase it from 3 graduate credit hours per semester to 6. The reason that we're proposing that is that this will, we believe that this will have a beneficial effect in on the metric about the time to degree completion. Right now, and I know I have colleagues who have spouses, children, dependents, others who are taking classes, and they're taking it at that slower rate because they're only reimbursed 3 credit hours per semester on graduate and 6 per semester on undergraduate. So our proposal here is to increase that that benefit to a full-time load of 12 hours per semester, which we hope by extension will, believe by extension, will help that time to degree completion for those spouses and dependents. Additionally, we want to keep our best students here, our good students, and invest in the university. So we think that this would be another way to encourage keeping those students here at the university who are connected to our faculty. That's the only change.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? Do you want to take a caucus?
Sure.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, question I guess.
My question was, are you going to provide us with anything else today? Because otherwise we can take a caucus if there's anything else.
No, that's everything.
Okay.
Great.
So then,
coffee, maybe?
Well, we appreciate the time and the caucus, and we appreciate the Article 26. We're going to need to take it back and do some research and also some kind of talk through how that proposed change to the tuition benefit might impact us operationally. But we appreciate this, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can on it. And we may have some, we're going to read through 26 because we may have some thoughts about some of this language. I don't know whether we're going to focus on this or not, but I know at some of the other schools that I deal with, the phased retirement program has been sort of visited. And it's kind of, some of the universities see that no one's doing it because it was like a pre-drop retirement program, like a pre-drop phase-out. Now that there's other vehicles, people don't use it because it's not that good of a deal. So, it's not, we may look at that and see what some of the other schools are doing with that.
I mean, but if no one's using it, what's the reason for messing with it?
I don't know. I guess just because there's to have a program that's outdated and no one is using and it's on the books. And
well, I can see if you want to approve it, but if you just want to get rid of it, because, I mean, it's you don't know why.
I think I'm just saying, like, I know, like, University of Florida eliminated it. They had nobody on it.
I think we want to be careful about setting a precedent of updating the CBA. no, I'm just kidding. Because there's a lot of places that
there's a lot of places in England. University of Florida. They were like, "What is phased retirement?" It's in our contract, but no one knows anything about it.
We start using it.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good deal. I think every time anyone sits down and looks at how it operates, and they look at the other vehicles that are now available for them, it's just not a good deal. I mean, you would go in a drop.
Didn't the legislature cut back on some of the drop when some of the, there were, I think there were changes made to it during the legislative, Mike, you provided the legal advice for their side about the when they did the pension reform and other things. Didn't drop change as well?
Yeah, the percentage went way down to like what 1.5 or like that, get up to 6% it was at.
Well, not the time, but I think the drop program changed that time as well, didn't it?
I think the number of years you can go into it is still the same.
Okay.
I think the percentage they were paying on the money that was being held in the drop account went down drastically.
I think that's for regular retirement too. I think, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll look into that. We'll look into
okay.
But I'm not saying we're going to do that. I'm just saying I know that. I want to find out what's going on.
Okay.
In the system and retirement generally. I don't know. Do we have anything else?
I think so.
I think we're going to be ready to exchange the information about our articles to reopen next time we meet.
Okay.
And start working on that.
Okay. Sounds great.
Yeah. Okay.